Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Exaggerate, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, everyone. It is afternoon everywhere in the lower 30, did I say 34? Lower 48 states. This is Spouting Off. And you're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And it is Tuesday, September 7th. And voting day, anywhere around the country that you are, a lot of people tell others, vote, vote, vote. Don't matter whether you understand what you're voting for or not. I have a different opinion. Vote if you understand the issues. Don't vote if you don't. Kind of simple. Okay, we have a jam-packed show for you today. I'm going to cover some little bites of big issues, as I often like to do. And then we are blessed and thrilled to have with us as our guest for the rest of the program, coming in around 17 minutes or 15 minutes after the hour, whatever it turns out to be, we have a well-known BBS host, J. Lewis Mills, coming on the show, and I'll tell you more about him. You may already know about him because he has a show on BBS Station 2, and he is a fascinating person. I haven't had the chance to talk to him privately, so we're going to get to know each other on the radio. And I suspect there's going to be some definite disagreement from what I hear. He's not shy about disagreeing, and if you listen to my show, you know I am not either. So I want to start off by mentioning a very, very sad, I hate having to mention this, but I think it's important to simply acknowledge the Sutherland Springs Church massacre that happened. What a terrible, terrible incident. And as usual, people are politicizing it. One side tells the other to politicize it when they think it's to their advantage, and the other one says don't politicize it when they don't. But here are my comments on it, and we don't have a lot yet, a lot of news, but there is plenty more than there was and still is on Las Vegas. There are people with mental illness, and apparently he escaped from a mental hospital in 2012, and there were Antifa threats that same weekend. We have no evidence of this, but there was evidence that he wore a black mask with a white skull, and that is common as part of Antifa. So while I don't lay it at their feet by any stretch of the imagination, I am deeply concerned about the incitement and the harshness in the culture. I am all for strong disagreement, but words, not actions. That's the reason we enjoy exercising our First Amendment rights, so we can talk out our issues, not act out our issues through violence and hatred. That is one of the reasons why I feel so strongly about expressing our First Amendment rights. But there does need to be an absolute difference between speech and action. And that's one of the things I see as a problem. Another thing going on, and I do hear a little bit of feedback going on in the background here. I don't know why, Mr. Engineer. I'm just going to keep going, though. This week, actually a year ago tomorrow, Trump won the election. And I do want to do a little bit of retrospective on thoughts, because my, it has been an active year. If you've been listening to me for any length of time, you'll know that I believe that this was a modern day miracle that Donald Trump won this election. He wasn't expected to, especially by the opposition. And there was a tremendous amount of shenanigans going on, which only now we're finding out through, of all people, Donna Brazile. We're not going to have a lot of time to talk about it. I hope I'll just give you a hint. I've got a bonus show coming up this coming Saturday, the 11th of November at 10 p.m. Tough time for me. That's 10 p.m. Mountain Time, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern Time, in which I will be following yet again this wonderful speaker, James Gilliland, who does a show, As You Wish. So maybe I think I'll have more time to talk about Donna Brazile then. But boy, she's getting a lot of opposition because she is acting as a whistleblower now about some of the shenanigans that were going on in the last election. And of course, we wouldn't know about any of this if Donald Trump weren't president today. I want to mention, I do believe that we dodged not a bullet, but a bomb. We dodged a bomb. And the left has been spending a year doing its best to demean and delegitimize Donald Trump and his presidency. And he has made enormous accomplishments, which, of course, you won't hear via the mainstream media. They insist on, I think the statistic is 97% negative. They will take one word that he said and blow it up out of proportion, but they won't report this. Not only is the stock market, and you may not be invested in the stock market, but not only is the stock market through the roof, economic optimism is at a 17-year high. 1.5 million people less are on food stamps. Unemployment numbers just came out, and they are the lowest in 44 years. Now, you may like for people to be dependent on the government, but I like to judge economic prosperity as people who are not dependent on the government and who are making their own way in the world, and in fact, having the opportunity to make a heck of a lot more than living on welfare and food stamps. Every single one of these issues are huge, and I'm just going to touch upon them a little bit. He got us out of the Paris Climate Accord, which is atrocious in my opinion, and is merely another way to separate America from its own wealth and resources. He's getting us out of the Iran deal. The left tried to link Trump with Russia, and that's been a bust, but voila! Hillary is the one who was always colluding with the Russians. And if you want to hear more about that, we will talk at great length about that on Saturday at midnight Eastern and 10 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Pacific. And all of this going on, the thing I think Trump is accomplishing greatest, I think his greatest accomplishment right now, is that he is single-handedly and encouraging others to, he's exposing the cultural rot that is going on in this country and has been going on for a long time. He's empowering everyday people to start speaking out and speaking up and saying, well, that's just ridiculous. He is exposing the secrets and the lies of the left and the establishment right. And none of this would have come out had Hillary become president. And yet, with all of that, on November 8th, liberals plan to scream at the sky because of their distaste and frustration with President Trump. Now, there was a study that just came out that Republicans are afraid to speak up in much greater numbers. This is a Cato study, which is a libertarian think tank. And it said, a new 2017 study of free speech and tolerance said that 71% of Americans believe that political correctness has silenced important discussions our society needs to have. The consequences are personal. 58% of Americans believe that the political climate prevents them from sharing their own political beliefs. Democrats, on the other hand, are unique in that a slim majority do not feel the need to self-censor. Conversely, strong majorities of Republicans, 73%, and independents, 58%, say that they keep some of their political beliefs to themselves. Now, wouldn't you prefer that people express their beliefs than run out and try to start riots and violence. And there have been innumerable horrible incidents in which innocent people, regardless of their race, their color, their creed, their political ideology, are getting killed. So political correctness, in my estimation, is exactly the wrong thing to do. If you want to support your First Amendment rights, you have to be willing to tolerate things that you yourself do not like. Now, that doesn't mean you have to like it, and you don't even have to listen to it. But you have to not allow the government, and that's what the First Amendment is, to punish people for whatever it is they say. Now, one of the classic obstructions of justice, and it hasn't been, I don't think they were held accountable at all, the previous administration, among other things, used the IRS to attack and suppress its political enemies. That is a classic example of obstruction of justice, and it is as anti-First Amendment as you can possibly get. If you can't beat people fairly and squarely, you can't use the power of government to shut them down. And that's what we've been seeing. So I have just, a little bit of passion about that one. If you happen to be listening to my guest appearance, I want to just let you know about this before we bring on our guest. If you happen to be listening to my guest appearance with Senator Michael D. Brown and Maria Sanchez, that was Sunday night, 5 p.m. I'm very honored. I want to thank them publicly for having me on. It was, some people think it was a spirited debate. Other people, I think, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I don't think Maria Sanchez was very happy with me with what I was saying. And I thought about it the next day, and I thought, well, let's see, could I have done this better? Could I have been less feisty, less opinionated, a less whatever? Because throughout, I kept getting, whenever she disagreed with me, she said I was being condescending, and she didn't like my tone, and she didn't like my attitude. And I thought, you know, this is one of the things I really have a problem with. She claims to be a Republican, but I don't know all of her positions, and I'm not going to put words in her mouth, but gosh, how can I put this? We today seem to have a big problem with how people say things instead of what they say. Disagree vigorously with what people say, but nothing I said in that discussion was a low blow. Was it an ad hominem attack? I did not attack them personally, but they kind of did me, well, Maria did anyway, by saying that I was being condescending. I think the media has gotten into the habit of demeaning and putting down Donald Trump because they hate his guts. It's clear they would do anything to stop him. After all, it was Congresswoman, what's her name, Maxine Waters, who said that she wanted to impeach him, and that was before he was inaugurated. So we kind of know that Trump represents everything the establishment, right and left, hate, and they're willing to do anything, including lies, to get rid of him. We've seen that in the last year. If you want to disagree with me, you're welcome to. I'm going to bring our guest on, and it's quite possible he does. So I would encourage you to listen to that episode. It's on my website. You can go to www.karencataline.com, and the very first podcast that comes up is going to be the podcast for the episode I did this past Sunday called Shadow Politics with Michael Brown. I knew I would disagree with Michael Brown. He was lovely, by the way. We had a lovely conversation before our talk. But then when we got into politics, obviously we were going to disagree. That's what talk radio is all about. So I am delighted to have with me Mr. J. Lewis Mills, who is an American actor best known for the television series Heartbeat. He hosts On the Level right here on BBS Station 2, BBS Radio. And his show is on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific. That's 9 Mountain. And what would that be? Now that we're in standard time, That's 10:11 Eastern Time, where he has a variety of guests covering everything from current events, social issues, or the latest hot topics. I saw this week he's having a star on. We'll let him talk about that. Before landing his role as a Heartbeat, he worked as a caretaker, was homeless for a time, and now he is a working Hollywood actor. Welcome, J. Lewis Mills. Welcome to Spouting Off.
Thank you, ma'am. How are you doing?
Fine. You don't have to call me ma'am. You can call me Karen if you like.
we'll stick with ma'am until we get into the serious conversation.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. So tell me, you are having, what is it? Her name is Amy Brenneman, who's the star. Her show, is it still on right now? Judging Amy?
No. Judging Amy ended quite a while ago. She's doing a show now on HBO called The Leftovers.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
Great. So how long have you been a working actor in Los Angeles?
Well, I've been a professional actor ever since, I would say, in January of 2014. And I ended up getting my show March of 2015. So we'll just say January 2014.
You didn't have to struggle too long. I guess you were struggling before then on other areas, right?
Yes.
We have this in common. I was a working actress, singer. That was my first career. So I lived in New York and LA. Mm-hmm. And so I have a little bit of understanding after we talk about, or when we get into like our first issue, which we will in just a second, sure. Maybe we can talk about what's going on in Hollywood and your thoughts about that.
Sure. I have no problem with that at all.
Good, good. I didn't think you would have problems with that. You're a host and you're a lot to say. So why don't we just get right into it? I heard you talk about your opinions on the NFL and the ongoing, what I call the political football. Now, I think it is incredibly apropos, not only because the issue is continuing on and on, but also, at least from what I hear, I could be wrong, the opposition to the people that have decided to kneel are planning a national boycott on Sunday, November 12th, the weekend of the Veterans Day weekend. They want to boycott, I'm just reading this, football telecast, fans, ticket holders. They're telling people to stay away, to let them play to an empty stadium, honor our military, some of whom came home with the American flag draped over their coffin. And I heard you chuckling a little bit. So tell me tell us and our listeners about your thoughts about this controversy.
Well, first off, in my opinion, it's not a controversy. It has been made a controversy. A very simple situation has been brought to being so diluted with so much fake, I don't want to say fake news, but with so many fake reports. The only reason this is happening, and I really don't care who it is, Republican, Democrat, black, white, I don't care who you are. The only reason this is happening is because of racial injustice that is going on in this country. This has nothing to do with any black American, white American, football player, anybody else trying to disrespect the flag, trying to disrespect the national anthem, trying to disrespect the military. There have been military men and women, servicemen and women, who have, I mean, there's people on both sides of every fence. I absolutely get that. But I tend to try my best to stick with the facts, even though delusion is a part of our society today. I try to stick with the facts. So before I did my first show on this subject, I went to YouTube and I YouTubed the very first video I could find of Colin Kaepernick, because he is the one that started all of this.
Yeah, I have a quote of his. Yeah.
I wanted to hear what he had to say, I wanted to hear what his reasoning was.
Okay.
And then when I find out his name, I don't remember his name. I believe it was Nate something, but there was a former Seattle Seahawks football player as well as a former Green Beret. First three games that Colin Kaepernick did this in the preseason for 2016, he was sitting down, he was sitting down on the bench. He had a conversation with, again, his name escapes me. I don't remember his name, but he had a conversation with a former Green Beret and former NFL player, and they came to the conclusion, you know, I understand why you're doing this. So instead of sitting down on the bench, what we do in the military when we want to honor and pay respect to a fallen brother or to a fallen sister, to a fallen soldier, we kneel for them. So I understand where you're coming from with this, but I would much rather you kneel. And from every game from that point forward that Colin Kaepernick had a job, that's why he knelt. When I hear people say how disrespectful it is to kneel, you know, I've had a lot of opinions about that, but my the conversation opinion that I have about that is, how can you tell someone that had a conversation with a member of the military? And I get it. You know, when I have conversations about stuff and I'm the only Black American involved, I don't ever think that I'm the spokesman for Black America. So I'm not saying that this Green Beret that Colin Kaepernick had the conversation with is the spokesman for the military. However, he was a military member, and he had a conversation with Colin Kaepernick. And from that conversation, they came to the agreement, well, I will kneel.
Okay.
So now that's what's being done. They are kneeling, which is a form of respect. It was said by the military.
Right.
It was a form of respect. So how anyone can say, hey, how anyone outside of the military can bring their opinion in and say that it's disrespectful, that's where the conversation has to end with me.
Well, okay, but let's expand the conversation a little, because I have heard that. I have heard that Colin Kaepernick actually did consult some military people, and that's what they told him to do.
Yes.
People who have been deeply offended. I mean, let's face it, the left doesn't have a monopoly on being offended. Everybody has a right to be offended, and the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be offended, which I think people confuse. You know, you can be as offended as you want to be. You just don't get to shut other people down. So I think what people are very, very upset about and are willing to boycott on November 12th is a couple of things. And I like you, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but here are some of my things that I surmise and ones which I firmly agree with. And that is that they, the millionaire football players have a captive audience. They they have a captive audience and they are politicizing the game.
Wow.
Now they have, let me finish. They have a right. They could have a platform anywhere they want. Why did they choose the national anthem at the time when we all unify to get behind our flag and our country? It's clear that they wanted to make the maximum impact. And the fans who do respect our flag and our anthem and what it stands for were personally offended by that because they politicized the game. Why should they have these football players' opinions imposed upon them when they came to watch them do what they do so brilliantly, which is to play football?
I have an answer for that. First of all, I think it's I absolutely believe there is a power in words. And to start off by saying these million-dollar football players, sure, they are.
They do have
those million-dollar contracts. But what about their family members? What about their friends that they go and visit, that they still see the racial injustice. They're speaking for them. That's my first point.
I would submit. Let's set that aside. I just want you to know that I don't in any way accept the fact that there is racial injustice worse today. In fact, it is much. I do not accept in any way that the cases that are being brought up today to whip up and incite hatred against the police are constitute racial injustice. I just don't. And let's talk about that. But I interrupted what the other thing you were going to say. I just wanted to let's drill down a little further, because I think that it's based on lies. I don't think it's true.
Let me first.
Well,
first
I mean, is it just accepted? No. Are we all supposed to just accept that there's so much racial injustice in this country that we should have it pushed down our throat by a bunch of football players? I mean, they're football players. They aren't political, you know, they don't have, even if they did have doctorates in political philosophy, they're doing the same thing they did at Hamilton, if you remember, since you're an actor, which is they had a captive audience. And right after Pence came to see Hamilton, he had to be subjected to Hamilton cast lecturing him about how much they disapprove of him. I mean, that was wrong. Thank you. I was unprofessional. And I would submit that this is the wrong place for Kaepernick and all the others. They have got lots of platforms to engage in politics and to do something really, if they believe it, that it is productive. This wasn't productive. It was used to get attention. But go ahead.
I absolutely disagree with that.
Now, I thought you were.
If you are a football player, let's say I play for a football team and I get on my Twitter page, I get on my Facebook, I get on any of my social media, or I do an interview and I speak out about something like this, but then I go to my football game and I'm standing for the national anthem. If that doesn't look like I am a 100% hypocrite.
So I guess you do have some hatred towards the anthem and the country. But let's not mince words. These folks, I don't care what color they are, if they believe that they are being hypocrites by standing for the anthem, standing for the flag, and representing our country, then they have some hatred and anger towards the country. So
is it really hatred towards the country, or is it just that National Football League football players understand that the football owners are being paid by the military for them to stand? So is this really we are just so patriotic and we're offended by it?
Or not,
that's absolutely true. I had Tony Sands on my show, who is a former NFL football player. And I asked him directly, I said, when you were playing, was this even an issue? And he said, no. When I was playing, we didn't have to go out for the national anthem. The players stayed in the locker room. Players didn't have to start coming out for the national anthem until the military started paying the National Football League for players to come out and stand for the national anthem.
Ask you know what,
any
James,
National Football League football player.
You know, the message that these guys are making is very convoluted and confusing and muddy. I'm going to read you what Colin Kaepernick says, and then we're going to have to take a break so that we have a lot of time. We have the whole next half an hour, but let me read this. And then, if people want to call in, I want to give you lots and lots of time. So, let me read what Colin Kaepernick said last year. Quote, "I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color," Kaepernick told NFL media in an exclusive interview after the game. "To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the streets and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." So I don't think it was about the owners. I think that first it was about Michael Brown, the other Michael Brown, and we can get into that. It was all of that. And now it's not about the flag. It's not about the country. I think the message is incredibly convoluted. It's much more divisive.
Okay.
Let's do that after the break. We're going to take our midway break. This is Spouting Off, and I'm here with J. Lewis Mills, my guest. And we'll be right back.
I'm Shelby, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arne, on Congress granting itself legal exemptions.
In 1788, as the Constitution was being debated, James Madison wrote that the chief restraint preventing Congress from passing laws that apply to us, but not to Congress, is, quote, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish so as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Today, Americans live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials and those who work for them. If we hope to preserve our liberty, we must recultivate that manly spirit of freedom that our fathers had.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I have with me for the next half hour of our show, J. Lewis Mills, an American actor and best known for the television series Heartbeat. And he is a host and hosts his own show here on BBS Station 2. This is Station 1. He's on Station 2 Wednesday at 8 p.m. And so you can listen to his show then. That's 8 p.m. Pacific. When before the break, we were talking about what Colin Kaepernick said. I'm not going to repeat it because I want to give you a chance to comment.
Yes, you made the comment before the break that this is the players. The message is rather convoluted when in actuality it's really not. The convolution comes when people want to step in and say, no, they're doing it for this reason, they're doing it for that reason, this is disrespectful, that's disrespectful. So in my opinion, the convolution came when the situation was, when the real subject was put on the back burner. And you also made mention to last year, 2016, there were two or three unexplained situations going on with Caucasian police and African American or Black American males.
Can you tell me about those?
Let me first stop and say, I have nothing but respect for the law enforcement of any city, any state in the United States of America. It is a very hard job. No one will ever understand the job that they have to do until you are actually in those shoes. There are times when hard decisions have to be made. There are times when very quick decisions have to be made. So I get that and I understand that. But the situations that were going on were what happened to the young man in Ferguson, what mm-hmm. happened to the young man in New York when he kept saying, I can't breathe.
Okay, so that's the hands up, don't shoot. Michael Brown.
Yeah.
We call that the hands up, don't shoot. So, I mean, you know, that people think of it in Ferguson, which sparked a bunch of riots in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yes.
Baltimore?
So
no,
that's,
Missouri,
that's,
Missouri.
That's everything.
Do you
that's
believe
everything that?
That
was going on? As, do, well, I mean, I believe.
Do you believe hands up, don't shoot was really happened? That he was running away with his hands up and they shot him anyway?
I as far as me personally, as far as that is that specific one is concerned, I don't necessarily know what happened. I don't know if it is true. I don't know if it is false. But at the same time, my concern is it happened. It was something to
it
be talked about.
Did you know that Michael Brown tried to reach inside the car, the cop car, and pull the gun from the officer? And they struggled
well, I had
over
heard
the gun.
That, and
yeah,
I had also heard, and I saw the pictures of Michael Brown in the store, where he looked as though he was, from what people say, he strong-armed somebody in the store. There was some altercation that happened with him in the store,
well,
or
he
someone
tried to
that
steal.
Looked like
he
him.
was trying to stick
yeah.
up the store right before, and
yes.
they were looking for someone with his. With his, what do
yes.
you call it? Description.
Yes. Now, I can say, just from being a Black American male, there have been times being here in California or being in Arizona, a situation may have happened in a neighborhood or somewhere where I was, and I had two or three patrol cars. One instance it was two. One instance it was two patrol cars and a canine unit just roll up on me. And
do you think that's
drawn.
Because you were Black only, or because is that what you're?
Do I think it was because
that?
I was Black
that
only?
Cops are
no,
racist?
I don't think it was because I was Black only.
Uh-huh.
But I do think. I know in one of the situations, I wasn't even dressed the same way the perpetrator they were looking for was dressed. It was just a Black male, because this was the situation with the two police cars. One police car pulled up first, and then the second one pulls up, and I'm hearing one of the police officers saying, he's not even dressed like the person we're looking for. Why did you stop him?
Good. See, so a cop actually said, why did you stop
sure.
him? Let me read to you a statistic and let me get your reaction.
But
okay?
I would also like to get back
sure.
to me explaining
sure.
what this NFL situation is. Just so
oh, you know. Okay. Well, do you want to do that now? Because I want to read you the statistic, but I want you to be able to
okay.
say what you
yeah,
want to say about
yeah.
the NFL.
I would if you
go didn't. Right ahead.
Okay. You asked, you said this was convoluted. This is a very simple situation. The kneeling that's being done presently now is because racial injustice is still going on. That's why it's still being done.
I would disagree.
I would disagree with you disagreeing because you're not Black like me.
So
you're
that means
Black
I'm
like
not allowed to have an opinion?
No, you're absolutely allowed to have an opinion, but what I meant by that is you don't live in the communities where this is going on. You're not the color that is being targeted. So
okay,
sure.
I want to read you this statistic.
Okay.
Because I think it is apropos. All right. Here I want to get your comment because this is a study that was done. Quote, Blacks comprise about 13% of the population, but commit half of all homicides, mostly against Black men. One more. Blacks are more likely to kill cops than to be killed by cops. What mm-hmm. do you think about that?
I think both of them are true.
So then, and I, you know, I have to say I'm extremely impressed with your intellectual honesty. I find a lot of people who are knee-jerk And I try not to be, and I have very strong opinions, and, you know, sometimes I'm just opinionated. But I am very impressed that you are fair-minded and that you're giving these statistics a hearing. It doesn't give me any pleasure to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me.
It doesn't give me any
terrible
pleasure to agree with it, but I have I have to ask the question.
Yeah, why?
You have to look at you have to look at the environment that these people are coming from. You have to look at, like, if I was a police officer, if I was a black police officer, I'm going to get it worse from my community than a white police officer is, because they're going to look at me and say, you're turning against us. So I would get it worse if
I was
a police officer. So,
Jay Lewis, let me tell you, I have become, for whatever the reason, an enormous fan of this cable program. I don't watch a lot of network TV. I apologize. I've not seen your show. But I love this show called Live PD. Are you familiar with it? It's on TBS.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's great. And it's like the old time when people used to listen to their old police radios, except now they got five or six cities all over the country, and they're following cops with camera crews. Mm-hmm. And they're answering every kind of call you can imagine, and you get to see what they do, you get to see the kind of people they deal with, and you get to see the communities and the places that they have to go into. Now, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your skirt when I tell you that one of the best cops and the most interesting guys to watch, and he's really cute too, is a black cop by the name of Kevin Lawrence, and he's developed quite a following. And he is in South Carolina, Richland, South Carolina. And this man is so cool. He's cool because he talks the language of the people. He is respectful, patient beyond all imagination. And it is educating the public. They go where the crime is. Unfortunately, the crime-ridden areas are where they are going. And the people that are most grateful for them being there are the minorities and the black communities who are law-abiding and who are being terrorized by crime and criminals. So they don't want the cops to leave. They want them to stay and do their job. And these guys are heroic, I'll tell you. And I don't like all of them. I don't think they're all particularly likable, but Kevin Lawrence is exemplary in his work. I don't know how he does his work day after day.
It's just a level of patience, which I wish more people would have when it came to sitting down and having conversation and listening to what, you know, these NFL players are saying. I think now I have to kind of retract something that I said earlier in your show. I said this has nothing to do with the national anthem, when in actuality, this kind of does have a little bit to do with the national anthem. And this is where the conversation for some people gets kind of, oh my gosh, here we go. So as far as the national anthem is concerned, the Star Spangled Banner, which was written by Francis Scott Key. Francis Scott Key not only was a slave owner while he penned the Star Spangled Banner, but what I don't know if you or the rest of your listeners know, there was a third verse to the Star Spangled Banner that was left out because it was too racist. So if you're going to say, well, it's okay that we use the Star Spangled Banner because, you know, we did take the racist part out. Again, that song wasn't meant for black people in the first place. And whenever I bring that up, that's when the conversation changes to giving me some type of an explanation, to where if there was anything else in this world, if we had a presidential candidate, I'll just say it like this, whether it was Democrat or whether it was Republican, if we had a presidential candidate on either side of the aisle or an independent that in their former life was a Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon, there is no way in the world they would get, in my opinion, there's no way they would get elected to being president because they have that.
Guess who was a Democrat who was, in fact, a high-level person in the Ku Klux Klan, and that was Robert Byrd, Did you know that? He was a Democrat. And the bulk of the KKK were all Democrats.
What year was that?
Huh?
What year was that? No, I didn't. But what year was that?
Robert Byrd, who just died. I don't have these things in front of me. Mm-hmm. Robert Byrd, B-Y-R-D. Look that up. Uh-huh. And I've got some other things I would love for you to consider. Because,
but he wasn't. You know, I don't mean to. I'm not saying that Donald Trump
was a grand dragon of the KKK, are you?
But no. But this Donald Byrd, he wasn't elected. Robert Byrd, he wasn't elected president. So that kind of doesn't fit what I'm saying.
But no, but have we had any that have? Actually, LBJ, another Democrat, the JFK files that just came out that were sealed. One of the things that came out that nobody was surprised by at all. Was it LBJ had very early KKK roots.
In that time, okay, maybe I should have said, in today's day and age, I don't think someone would. So, in that time, it was a more acceptable thing. What I'm speaking of is today. I'm speaking of today.
So then what you're saying is that we have made progress in this country, to say nothing of the fact that we did fight a civil war over slavery. We're the only country in the history of the world that ended slavery and had a war in order to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do we have problems in this country? Absolutely. But the history of KKK, the history of racism in this country, including the Jim Crow laws came out of the Democrat Party. There are black conservatives who have been shut down by Democrats because they don't want this history to come out. I would encourage you, if you have time, and people listening as well, black conservatives are my favorite people. I happen to be a Jewish conservative, so I'm almost as much of a minority as they are. And they get shut down and thrown around and told to shut up all the time. People like Star Parker, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, one of the most brilliant Stanford professors, Larry Elder, a talk show host out of L.A., who I love and have always loved.
Yes.
A lot of these people there and have written about how the black community has been sold a bill of goods by the Democrat Party, who have trashed inner cities, you know, robbed them blind while telling them that they should be dependent on government and basically making the government the new slave owner. It is Republicans who have constantly been the champion of freedom, of limited government, of less power and control coming from Washington. And for that, the Democrats have constantly branded them racist, sexist, homophobe, xenophobe, bigot. And I think that kind of lie is starting to wear thin, if nothing else, because it simply isn't true, and they're trying to cover their own history.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, that it's not true, and I wouldn't necessarily say that history is trying to be covered. But I will, to kind of extend my points a little more, with this being 2017, the level of racism that is still going on in this country is still too much. Even if we have made advances past the LBJ days, past the even if we've made advances past the Ronald Reagan days, to me, it doesn't, the fact that what I'm hearing is you all should be happy with how much advancement there has been, when the real situation is I'm not happy with the advancement that there has been, because there is still something for me to talk about. And again, going back to the National Football League demonstration, you know, I saw something on Facebook and I thought, You know, I came to grips a long time ago thinking I would never really see anything worthy or important to this level on social media. But I saw somebody posted this little saying, and it said, racism is so American that when you demonstrate against racism, certain Americans think you are demonstrating against America.
See, I think that is so wrong. That is so wrong.
And I feel that.
So you're saying America is inherently a racist country. Is that what you're
saying? What I'm saying is racism is so embedded in the American culture that's when the line gets blurred, where people don't realize this isn't being American. This is being racist. Right. Whenever I hear any person that said, this is my last point. Hear any person say those players should be grateful that they are able to be millionaires, or whenever I hear that millionaire, it's almost like people are saying, you have this opportunity, so sit down somewhere and shut up.
Well, and opportunities are important.
Martin Luther King was a preacher. He was a preacher in a church. If Martin Luther King would have just stayed in his lane, so to speak, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know what advances we would have made. So when I hear people say, well, this person, because they're in the public eye or because they have a platform, they shouldn't use it, they absolutely should. Because if Martin Luther King wouldn't have used his, none of that change would have happened. If Colin Kaepernick wouldn't have used his, the change, some of the change or the conversations that are happening now would have never happened.
Here's what I really want to get in. Okay, before we have to end, we got like 2-3 minutes, and I just want to make this point. Maybe we can continue this on your show because
I think
a valuable conversation. Yeah. I want to say that from my perspective, I think that the Democrat Party has whipped up victimhood and victimization and race hatred so much so that they have taken cases in which a person was literally committing a crime. If he had been respectful to the police, none of it would have happened. And yet, rioting and destroying people's property and license to destroy other people's lives, all of this racial unrest, I believe, and you're not going to like this, has been used as a political tool to keep Black people voting Democrat and keep them hating Republicans, when the exact opposite is true. That if Blacks stopped, if the community stopped being hateful and feeling like they were victims of some kind of systematic injustice, because now you have to exaggerate racism to a ridiculous degree, to so much of a degree that it's become like crying wolf now, that they would lose the Black vote. A lot of people are really being whipped up into a frenzy, and it is a disaster and a disgrace being
my
done.
My question to you is, I mean, I did hear what you say. I wasn't just listening to respond. I heard what you said.
Very fair.
My question to you would be, so is what you're saying that the Black American community is not intelligent enough to make their own decisions, that the Democratic Party feels as though the Black community is so ignorant that as long as they put this out there, no matter what they say, because they're Democrats, it's just going to be believed?
In essence, I'm saying almost that. In that,
absolutely,
I believe
not.
The Democrats are being the most condescending to the Black community of anyone, because they are treating them like pets. It is the Republican Party I'm saying the Democrats have demagogued racism to such an extent that they are the racists, because they treat the Black community as if they are not smart enough. And to me, that is racism right there. That is it.
If that were true, yes, I do see your point. I'm not trying to say I don't see your point, but what I'm saying I disagree with, and see, The another problem that I have, I don't split this up into Democrat or Republican. I don't split this up that way because this is not a Democrat-Republican argument, in my opinion. This is about racial injustice.
Yes, but
Democrat
you're getting,
and Republican.
You're getting the message that America is a racist country and America is undeniably racist. And all of those messages, all of them come from the Democrat Party. I would encourage you to read some of Walter Williams, read some of these great black conservatives and the hell that the Democrat Party has put them through.
I get it. I've been in
self-sufficiency and you don't need the government. You don't need these people telling you you're not smart enough to take care of your own life. You see?
I have been in, let me just be a little more truthful, which helps, you know, bring, which gives me kind of the reason why I'm the way that I am. I have been in households in South Los Angeles, which is predominantly black. And I have heard people, I haven't been, now I want to make this clear, I have never been a part of anything illegal that was done. But there have been times where I have heard conversations where something was being planned and someone would say, well, you know, if those cops come out, all you can basically do whatever you want to because all this bullshit that's going on in the country now, ain't no white cop gonna shoot you. So those conversations, I have heard those conversations. Mm-hmm. So I am a person. If you wanna sit and have this conversation about, you know, what we can do to be better, to be a better country, if it's gonna come down to black representatives, Caucasian representatives, Hispanic representatives, if there are representatives from every race that lives in this country that hit the proverbial table, I would like to see each one of those representatives not sit down and tell the other side, well, you have to stop doing this. I want to see that conversation had where each side is saying, you know what, this is what we did wrong. This is what we're going stop. This is how we're going to contribute to this. So am I
apologize.
Trying to say-
we have to wrap it up. I want to take time to say how grateful and thrilled I was to have you. And if you thought this conversation was at all interesting, and I certainly did, I loved every minute of it. We can continue this when I'm a guest on J. Lewis Mills' show on November 15th on Wednesday. And that's going to be 8 p.m., right? On station two, right, J. Lewis?
Yes, it
is. And I've just had a great time talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Very welcome.
And,
thank you for having me.
And if you want to hear the podcast of this or tell your friends, you can go to www.karencataline.com. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter by that name. Last name spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Thanks, Doug. Thanks to HW, the person, the brilliant guy with the IQ greater than that of the small soap dish. And you will have more spouting off on Saturday, 10 p.m. Mountain Time. So tune in. Thanks so much.